Welcome to a podcast from one of the adult Sunday school classes of Faith Baptist Church in Mattawan, Michigan. Our teacher for this session is Roger Toonstra. Please listen in as we join the class already in progress.
All right, well, let's open in a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we're grateful for the sunshine this morning. Thank you for bringing us all here safely and for the time of fellowship around your word we can have today. And we pray that you would use this time to speak to our hearts, help us to learn and grow and just become more of what you want us to be. And we pray for these different needs that were mentioned today, for the Tramper family and for the, first of all, the sorrow there, and then the just all the bills and the things that have to be attended to. We just pray that you would be there for them and be an encouragement and a help to them. And we pray for Bill and his knee, that you would help that to continue healing and he'd be able to get good use of that knee. Be with Carol's dad, his salvation, and just as he's aging, all that's involved in that, we just pray that you would work in his life and heart to draw him to yourself, and that in itself would be an encouragement to him. So we pray that you would help him to know you as his Savior. And I pray for my sister-in-law Jean, that you'd be with her and Jim as they kind of have to cope with this news now and make decisions about treatment and things. And we pray that you would just be of help and encouragement to them and help them to be able to continue being a good testimony to their neighborhood and as they have been in the past. And then for the children at the daycare, we pray for them and for the workers too, and for Joy, that you'd keep her healthy, and pray that the flu bug would clear out soon, that people would be able to get back to health and strength again. And we pray for our church and for the worship times today and opportunities in your word, that you would be honored, glorified, and lifted up through our time of study and worship today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Roger,
yep.
Jesse Valdez has called Brother
tomorrow. Okay, Jesse Valdez has gallbladder surgery tomorrow. All right. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And there's a couple of passages we'll be referring to, and there'll be others. Sorry I didn't get notes made up for you, but you'll have to be creative and write your own. Are the pastor's notes free so that the back is all clear on what came in the bulletin today? All right, good. So there you have that free paper. You can write on that. And then both sets of notes will be in the same place. One question I want you to think about as we talk about this, this isn't the primary question, but because of some of the challenges of these passages, and they are challenging and kind of difficult in some ways, I was thinking about whether these are equivalent terms. Is a Christian a disciple and a follower? Somebody was saying earlier when they were looking at that, yeah, if you're going to be a disciple, certainly you would be a Christian. We're talking about disciple of Christ here, not just the disciple of someone, but the disciple of Christ would have to be a Christian. A follower of Christ would be a Christian, but I'm more interested in the other way around. Is a Christian a disciple? Or can you be a Christian and not be a disciple, and then a disciple is kind of a different stage or a different level? That's kind of what I'm asking. And some of you know some of these verses, but for example, you know places in Jesus says things like, if you're not willing to do, you can't do this and this and this and be my disciple. You know? And so is he saying you can't be a Christian? Or is he saying you can't be that special class of persons called disciples? So at the end, I want to kind of ask ourselves that question again after we look at these passages. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now let's turn over to, I'm going to read all the passages first and then we'll kind of pull it all together. Luke 14. 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes to against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And then John 12. John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. All right, back to Luke 9. You see why I asked the question? Those are kind of strong challenges, aren't they? I kind of have to agree with that, I think, that Jesus says, unless you're willing to do this and that, you cannot be my disciple. And yet we know that becoming a Christian is a matter of trusting Christ's work on the cross on our behalf. And so how does this, all this fit together? So we want to just think about this a little bit. I want you to help me think about this because I don't know all the answers. So we're going to work on this together. Back in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, it says, if anyone desires to come after me or follow me, let him do certain things. First of all, I want us to ask ourselves, what does this mean? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? If anyone desires to come after me, what does he mean by that? To be a follower of Christ. Now, if you're on the earth, if Christ was on the earth and we were following him, we would kind of know what that meant. Because he would be walking around and we would be kind of walking around with him. But he's not here in person. So what does it look like, or what does he mean to be a follower of him? Yeah, Tom?
I suppose it would mean that he follow the teaching that he's giving.
So, okay, follow his teaching. What does that mean, follow his teaching? What do you mean by that?
Obey.
Obey? Is that what you mean by it, obey?
Believe.
And obey his teaching. Okay. One of the things I've been doing recently, this is broader than this particular lesson, but I just challenge you to try this. I've been thinking about it for several weeks now with almost everything that I read in Scripture, almost every song I hear or sing. I ask myself the question, is this true? And then with the idea, not in a skeptical way, not like I'm trying to put doubts in my mind, but if this is true, like if you hear a song or you sing a song and you say to yourself, is this true? And if the answer in your mind is, well, yes, of course it's true, that implies that we should accept it, believe it, and if there's something to do, we should obey it, right? And that's really been kind of enlightening to me, because some things, in some ways, I don't want to believe, because then it means I've got to do something about it. And so I tend to want to not ask myself that question, but it's been coming to my mind almost every day with almost everything I hear related to something from the Word. So Jesus said, if anybody wants to come after me. All right, so follow. I think you're right. Following means to believe, obey the teaching. Anything else, Tom?
I think we're supposed to be Christ-like.
Christ-like? Okay. Back there, Ted, somebody, Dennis.
Yeah, you call me Ted?
Dennis.
Hearing and doing.
Hearing and doing?
Yeah.
Is that different from believing and obeying?
That's pretty similar.
Okay, so to be a follower. Anybody disagreeing with any of these yet? Okay, Nan?
Well, taking up your cross involves some suffering. You know, speaking up for Christ maybe when it's not comfortable to do that. You know,
okay, we got that. That's coming in the lesson about taking your cross. So it might involve some suffering, following him in suffering. Okay, might, yep. Tim?
Another thing is on the new believer, that may curiosity. Like, you know, when you're leaving that, like, are you curious of what would happen if you would go that way? I'm just thinking of someone who's really a newborn Christian, like the curiosity of following him,
out of curiosity, what's this life going to be like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Denying oneself.
Yeah, that's coming up in the lesson. So following. So basically, what you're kind of when you mentioned denying yourself, and when Dennis says or Nan says suffering, what you're kind of saying is what we're going to be seeing here, and then the rest of the verse is kind of an explanation of what some of this is. All right. Yeah, Carol.
Separation from your old life. Where is that coming up?
All right. Yeah, no. And I don't. When I say it's coming up too, I'm not trying to say that those are the wrong answer. I'm just saying. What did you say? Separating.
Separation from your old life. From your old life.
Is there an E or an A next?
A.
Really?
Yes.
It doesn't look right at all up here. Danita?
Sometimes it affects our relationships and our family.
All right, so that can be, he says in another place, I think it's still in Luke 9, but in a different passage where he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And, you know, there's going to be fathers against mothers and whatever. Ruth, were you trying to?
People under obey teaching, but the verse, I would lamp unto my feet and light unto my path.
Day by day walking. Okay, so thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. So there's an obedience there. So I think all those kind of encompass that. Following Christ, we can't see him physically, so we're not kind of tagging along. But we're trying to be obedient. We're trying to follow in his way. Maybe another thing we could say is do as he does, follow his example, you know, treat people the way he treated people and so forth. So you've got all those kinds of things. So first thing then, if we have a desire to follow, what are we supposed to do? It says, if anybody wants to follow me, all right, so then the next thing says, let him, what's it say? Deny himself. Okay? Now, a couple of things. Denying oneself is not the same thing as denying oneself something. We sometimes say, I'm going to deny myself. Some people do for Lent, for example, some religions. They're going to deny themselves chocolate. They're going to deny themselves some pleasure of some kind. And sometimes Christians think that they should do that for some reason. At different times, I'm going to deny myself something. But the passage doesn't say we should deny ourselves something. It says we should deny ourselves. All right? So let's talk about the word deny. I'm a big word fan. I want to know what things mean, not just read them. So if Peter denied Christ, right? What does it, or somebody might say something, and somebody might accuse you of something, and then you deny it. You say that's not true. What does it mean to deny? I'm not asking what it means to deny yourself right now. I'm just asking what does it mean to deny anything? Turn away, say no, reject. Anything? Any other words you could put in there?
If you honestly deny, then you don't believe.
You don't believe in something. You, like when Peter denied Christ, at that moment he wasn't really believing, trusting at that point. All right, so if a person wants to follow Christ, this is what's hard. And my question is this true? This is Jesus talking, right? He says, if you want to come after me, anyone who wants to come after me, let him deny himself. So denying oneself, putting these different words in here, what does that mean? We're going to say no to ourselves. We're going to distrust ourselves, our ability to whatever. What were some of the other words you guys used for deny? Say no to ourselves. Maybe that's the one I just said. I can't remember already. What does it mean, besides those examples, what does it mean to deny ourselves? Pardon? Give up your own life? The old life? Okay. What about the new life?
Give up the new life and bear our cross, which is going to represent suffering every day.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
The old, giving up the old life and right. Bearing the cross.
Now, he doesn't say, we've got to be careful here. When he says to deny yourself, he doesn't say to give up the old life. That is part of it. But he's saying, today, you need to deny yourself. Now, how good are we at that? Our number one interest is what? Our number one interest is self. When Paul is writing to the Ephesians about marriage, and he tells the husband to love his wife the way he loves himself, and then he says, no man ever yet denied himself. I mean, he didn't use the word deny there, but you know, every person is interested in their own welfare and their own well-being and how they look and how they come across to people. And we all make sure that we've got the food we need, if we can, and our comforts are there. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We want the easy chair. We want to be, if our feet feel like they need to be up, we want them up. We're looking out for ourselves. And Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself. And to me, that's very difficult. Now, does he really mean that? That's what I'm asking myself always. Is this true? I mean, I know this verse is here in the Bible, but is this true? What's the next thing? Deny himself, and then what? Take up his cross. One more word.
Daily.
All right. I think it's interesting in the Bible. The day-by-day thing is an interesting thing that we learn from experience. And I try to impress upon younger people, life is made up of days. It's a daily thing. You can't promise you're going to be a certain way, like make a commitment to Christ. I'm going to be this way now till I die, because that's an awful long time, maybe. But the issue is today. Whatever it is, this can be secular things too. If you're going to read a book, we can say, I've always wanted to read such and such a book. Well, you're never going to get it read unless you do what? Something. Take a step of it today. It's got to be ordered or taken off the shelf and a bookmark found for it, and then you got to read some of it. Everything works that way. If you're on a diet, you can't say, I'm going to lose all these pounds, I'm never going to eat chocolate again, or whatever promise you make, and none of that can be followed unless you do it today. And what do we often do in just basic things of life? This all starts tomorrow, whatever it is. My commitment to Christ, a diet, whatever. Anything hard starts tomorrow. And he says we're supposed to do this daily. So each day, we're supposed to do something. We're supposed to take up our cross. Now, taking up a cross can mean suffering. Pardon?
I think it's more neutral.
More neutral? What do you mean by that?
Not the negative connotation or a positive connotation. Just it's our duty, basically.
Yeah. It's a duty. Responsibility. He says take it up. Some people say things like, you know, you should see the husband I have to live with. He's my cross to bear. This is not talking about that. If you got cancer and suffering, this is my cross to bear. He's actually not talking about that. In those days, if a person took up his cross, Jesus had to do that. It was a burden, And it was suffering. But what was he doing? Why did he... They made him. I know that's, I'm not talking about the... You wouldn't just go around and pick up a cross on purpose. They made him pick it up. But what was the goal? He was going to die. He was picking up his execution instrument. And in our day, we don't have crosses. We have electric chairs, and we have, what else do we do? Lethal injection. So if it was written today, we could say, pick up your hypodermic needle of cyanide or whatever, and take it with you. Well, what's the point? The point is not how heavy it is to carry. The point is we're on our way to death, to kill yourself. Not suicidally, but just... So he's saying we need to deny ourselves and take up your cross, take up your execution instrument, because... And then he says, follow me. So follow him where? Follow him to the place of execution, is what he's really saying. Follow Christ to the place of execution. We are, in some way, we are supposed to put ourselves to death every single day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Now, what does it mean to die in this sense? What are we... If we're dying daily for the cause of Christ, it's not just a suffering we have to carry. What are we doing? If I'm going to die today to myself, or in this sense, what does it mean, Tom?
Maybe denying the world a thing that you want to do is
would be what Christ has come. Okay, deny... First of all, we're supposed to, the whole point is to deny what?
Self. So we're killing self all the time.
All right, so you're saying deny the worldly desires or temptations. Okay.
The old nature.
Old nature.
Because that's what's inside of us. That's what makes us.
The flesh.
Flesh. What else, Dan?
I think sometimes that would involve giving of yourself to somebody else.
Yes. See, I think this is where we normally land, and we should. But we start thinking, I shouldn't say that. I start thinking, all right, the worldly desires are pretty much under control sometimes. The old nature, that's a constant battle pretty much. Flesh is a constant battle. But, I mean, I know what those things are, and I pretty much stay away from those things. But what about other things that don't seem to be part of some list? So you're going to give up yourself to do what? To help somebody else? Is that what you... To wait on Bill? Okay. His name stands for whoever people are in your lives. Yes.
If we were taking up the instrument of our execution daily, if we were living each day like this was when our sentence was going to be enacted, wouldn't that help relieve any inhibition or anxiety about doing some things maybe we've been afraid to do? So in the
such as
life,
yeah,
maybe
witnessing
more, or just like if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, aren't there some things that you would want to cross off your list? You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So you might. So besides, we're talking about denying self here. So obviously you have the sinful things and the worldly things, but what about things like serving Bill? Serving your wife or husband, doesn't that take dying to self? I want to do this. Ruth wants to do something else. All right, so I need to die to my desire and do what she would like.
It's not a time.
Pardon? It's a time. I have to give of my its time, its energy, its give up, deny yourself selfishness, self-centeredness. So it's not just the things on the bad list, on the fleshly list, because even being selfish is fleshly. But it's not on our normal fleshly list. We have a fleshly list of things that are sinful, you know, sexual temptation and bad movies and whatever, drunkenness and all that kind of stuff. But also not being willing to give up my time for my neighbor. Remember Jesus, when all the things he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, being willing to share, borrow, I mean, when people want to borrow, give it to them, all that kind of stuff. People want you to go a mile, go 2 miles with them. People want you to help them with some project, help them with two projects. But all that is self-sacrificing. And it begins to be painful. Ruth?
Alluding to giving up the fear of man.
Right. Yeah. Fear of man. So then you have things like Phil was talking about. You've got witnessing. Even in your personal life, you've got, what about prayer time? What about meditation on God's word? Joshua said, meditate on the law day and night, and you'll have success. So in my mind, I'm going, is that true? I will have success if I meditate on God's word day and night. Then why don't I do it if it's actually true? But that takes sacrifice. I have to turn off the TV. I can't watch everything I want to watch because there's other things to do. There's other important steps to be taken in life. Do I have to give up everything for Christ? Can I have some time for myself? And what's the answer to that question? Can't I have some time for myself? The answer is no. Now, are you willing to go there or not? I think that's a tough answer. Because I'm not always willing to go there. I want some time for myself. I want some self-centered time. I want to do what I want to do. Because I'm selfish. Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself. So what deny yourself says, what does self want to do? Say no. What does self want to do? Say no. What does self want to do when the alarm rings in the morning? Stay in bed. Say no. What does self want to do when the alarm just gives you enough time to get to work and you know that you should be reading your Bible? Self doesn't want to get up a half an hour early. Self wants to sleep in a little bit longer. What do you do to that? Say no. Self wants the extra dessert. Say no. Self wants whatever self wants. Your neighbor says, I need help fixing my lawnmower. I've got my own projects to do. Self wants to do my own projects. What do I have to do? Say no. Isn't that painful? That's dying. That's dying. And Jesus says, die. Tom?
And where Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee to get away from the crowd of people, and when he gets to the other side, they're all there. He gives up his time, and he goes in and teaches them anyhow. An example of what else is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a good example. In Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on things above, put the death of things on the earth. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I find this extremely difficult. I don't know about you. You turn to 2 Corinthians 5, but most of you know Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, and so forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Well, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 15, and he died for all, and then he tells us for what reason? He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So, it's almost like Christ took the bullet for us. Have you ever seen those comedies? Sometimes, I don't mean to relate Christ to comedy, but sometimes on TV, somebody will think that this other person took the bullet for them or did something for them that rescued them. And so then the whole rest of the show is the guy's trying to pay him back somehow. And he's constantly there doing stuff for him, and he's trying to pay him back for helping him out and helping him not to die in that situation. So he's trying to live for that person, basically. And that's kind of what, Christ took the bullet for us. And so he says, so really you're dead. But Christ took the bullet for you, so now you're supposed to live for him. Do his living for him. You say, yeah, I want to live for me. He says, no, you can't, you're dead. Because you would have been dead if Christ hadn't taken the bullet for you. And so we're supposed to be living for him. And when are we supposed to be living for him? We're supposed to be living for him in the morning, and noon, and night. Middle of the night, the kids get sick, supposed to live for Christ, take care of them. You got kids throwing up at the daycare center, right? You got to take care of them, live for Christ, take care of them. Whatever. I find this very difficult. And then he says, follow me. So back in Luke 9 again, he says, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Live your life like I would live it. And then he gives a principle. I was under the impression I was going to be able to do this all in one session, but I don't think it's going to work. I don't know. It all fit on one page right here. Luke 9, again. He gives the principle then to kind of summarize that. Take up your cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, he gives a principle here. My question is this true? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So what do we do in our life? We spend our whole life trying to find ourselves. Trying to save it. Trying to rescue a little bit of time here and there to make sure that I'm all of a sudden done. I got to go to work and all that, but I want my time. I've got to make sure my needs are met. So we spend all of our time, generally speaking, to save our life. The word life there is actually the word soul, but I think it basically means the same thing. So whoever desires to save his soul, save his life, Jesus said, what's the outcome going to be? Whoever, anybody, who desires to save his life is going to lose it. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Because you're yourself again. You're not living for Christ, you're living for yourself.
But that's a scary thing, because we do spend a whole lot of time trying to save our life. So he said, whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And in Matthew, the same verse in Mark, not only says for my sake, he also adds the word and the gospels. In other words, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels is going to save it. So if you ultimately want to save your life, you need to do what? Lose it for Christ. Lose it for the gospel. Just like Jesus told the people when they wanted to be chief. If you want to be the chief, what are you going to be? Be the least. Take the bottom rung. Take the servant role. Don't try to be the chief. Be the bottom. Then you'll be the chief. If you want to be the chief, you're going to end up at the bottom. The first will be last. Sometimes when our grandkids are fighting over who's going to be first, and of course they don't catch it right away, because it takes a lifetime. But you say, get to the end of the line, because then you'll be first. But that doesn't seem to make much sense, and it doesn't make much sense to us, because we still want to be first in line somehow. And he says, if you want to gain your life, you actually have to lose it. Let's see, I seem like I was going to refer to another passage. Oh, going back to the passage in John. Go back there. We read it, but he talks a little bit about it there too. Whoever loses his life will find it. Whoever forsakes his life, whoever finds his life, what do I want to say? Whoever's trying to save his life is going to lose it, and whoever loses his life will find it. But then what does John say? John adds some other strong language to this. Verse 25, John 12, 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So now he's not even just saying trying to gain and trying to lose and to save. He's talking about what kind of words is he using here? He who, what's the word he uses, John uses? Loves his life is going to lose it. And he who hates his life. What do you think about a person who hates his life? Don't you usually think that's kind of a depressing person? I don't think it means that, like, I just hate my life, I want to die. I don't think he's talking about that. But he's talking pretty strong language here about our effort to kind of hold on to and cling and grasp a hold of it. So we need to talk more about that next week. But my question is, before the second bell catches us, he's saying all this is true of people who want to follow me and people who want to be my disciple. What I want to know is that a special kind of Christian? Or is every Christian supposed to be in this category?
Every Christian.
Every Christian.
So if you're not in that category, you're not a Christian.
Is that what you're saying?
That makes you not a Christian just because you're not trying.
Well, that's not what he asked.
He talks in here in John, which is where you landed, I think, about we'll keep it unto eternal life. He who hates his life will keep it unto eternal life. He who loves his life will lose it. Well, if you keep it unto eternal life, that sounds like salvation to me.
Is the life he's talking about there, is it salvation or is it back to that grouping, the life being you're going to die, deny yourself, life being the things you want, and not the things you're
asking, because if not, then it's workspace.
Right.
Say that again?
It has to be. Cause if not,
it has to be what?
It has to be
the old life.
Yeah, the old life, and the...
Because if not, you're saying...
Can I be a Christian my entire life without ever becoming a disciple and applying what Jesus is talking about in this passage? Yeah. Can I ignore that passage and still be fine? I don't have to worry about giving up my life so I can gain it. And none of that, because I'm a Christian, I just don't care to go to the next step of being a disciple.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Paul, the Apostle Paul, I don't remember which church he was writing to, he said, after all these years, you guys are still, I can't give you meat yet.
Because you're still carnal.
And you're carnal. And he was...
So they weren't grown up yet.
Well.
Okay.
He said he had to still give them milk. So basically, they were still new Christians.
All right, so I think it would be more fun if I just let you simmer on this for the week, and we'll pick on this next. Tom?
John 8:31 says, Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, and that may have been just a surface type of belief, but it says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed.
Yes.
You've got to continue in his word to be truly his disciple. Okay. Roy?
Most assuredly, I say to you, if the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone.
But?
It remains alone.
Yeah. Is he talking about it? Because he's talking about his death and resurrection coming up there, too. So. All right. We've got given you a start. I was wrong to think I could do this all in one day. But it was good participation, good thinking, okay? So my question still is going to remain. We want to talk about, as we finish up this discussion next week, I want you to think seriously about the question. The two ideas are, one idea is a Christian is a disciple, is a follower. It's all the same thing. And so when Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to forsake all and follow me. And if that's equivalent to being a Christian, then he's saying, if you want to be a Christian, you need to abandon all and follow me. Or is a Christian just trusting Christ for salvation and all these things follow later, maybe or maybe not, depending on what you want to do. Those are kind of the two sides. Okay, we'll let you mull that over. Have somebody over for coffee this week and discuss it, hash it out, and come back with some good thoughts next week. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that these passages would be a challenge to us because it was our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said them. And when I ask myself, is it true? I have to say yes, because you've said it. So I pray that you would help us to understand what you're asking of us. And we pray that we might live accordingly. We might live for your glory and be all that you would have us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Faith Baptist Church in Mattawan, Michigan. We trust that the Bible teaching you have heard today will strengthen your faith and encourage you in your walk with Christ. If you wish to contact us, you can call the church at 269-668-3391 or find us on the web at www.fbcmattawan.org. Thanks, and we hope you can listen again soon.